Welcome to the Insight Hour. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz.
And I'm Sherry Kane.
And we come to you every Tuesday night, and we're on the road. So if you're experiencing 3-minute delay, you can appreciate that it was amazing that we even connected. We're on every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock on the West Coast, midnight on the East End. We are in lovely Hawaii at 6 o'clock, 6:03 here. So we've got a wonderful show tonight, and we've got a special guest, Vinnie Eastwood, the fabulous Vinnie Eastwood from the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio is going to be joining us tonight.
Yeah, Vinnie actually specializes in what we call the lighter side of genocide, and he's a great contributor to humanity with all of his humanitarian work as a radio host who tells the truth. He's one of the few out there who tells the truth. So,
and is not afraid to go up against the same kind of people that we've been heavily challenged by, and then also advancing disclosures on to, we're talking about COINTELPRO, folks. So we've covered that on this program before. Vinnie has really been very supportive to Sherry and I and all of the people that have been out there telling the truth.
So, Vinnie, are you there? Welcome to the Inside Hour.
Well, thank you very much, guys, for allowing me on here. I hopefully will be able to, you know, make people be drawn in with my sensual accent and make them cackle a tad with my completely inappropriate jokes.
Well, you keep us amused, and we love your accent, Vinny.
Yes, it's very sexy.
I know. You have to tell that to your fiancé.
So
tell your fiancé that it's that you've got a sexy... sexy cackle, right? So, you know, we've had a very interesting week, and it's been amazing to see what has happened from COINTELPRO attacking us because of the 528 love revolution that we've been advancing, and at the same time witnessing the economic collapse and all the things that we've been talking about and you've been talking about on your show. This week, I'd like to, besides having you introduce yourself, I want to get in tonight, in at least at the beginning of the show, into this hideous display of insanity and genocidal promiscuity that Governor Jerry Brown is advancing for allegedly allowing, they're on the ballot, to allow 12-year-olds to decide whether or not they should go against their parents to get vaccinated
for sexually transmitted diseases.
And this is just the beginning. They're engaging in this little affair. So sexually transmitted disease.
As soon as you start bringing sex into a child's mind, they're no longer a child. And don't you find, Len, that this is basically the modus operandi of what's going down with the media and with medical scumbaggery and what have you, is that they're trying to sexualize kids? I remember driving down the road the other day and I saw this chick in hot pants. I go, oh, that's really – oh, my God, she's 12 years old. Oh, I feel dirty. Oh, yeah. So dirty. You know, it's like – it's pretty rough, man. Like, honestly, The whole premise of you can look but can't touch doesn't apply if they're not even of age anymore. You know, I'm a red-blooded male, and this kind of stuff really sickens me, man. It really does. Not to mention the fact that all the vaccines are toxicity-containing pieces of crap hola anyway. So why would you want to inject them into you, let alone kids, let alone babies, let alone adults? And indeed, a good article just came out in the New Zealand Press today. Health workers were being asked to mandatorily take vaccines, and 50% of them flatly refused.
That's excellent. Yeah, it was 52% here in New York with the H1N1. Before we get into this, and I want to get into this subject at least for a good 20 minutes, half an hour, and pick it apart like you started to do beautifully here. But first of all, just as an introduction, Vinnie, if you could give our listeners a little bit of background on yourself, what got you interested in becoming a radio disc jockey, a host of a program that deals with the lighter side of genocide on American Freedom Radio Network?
Well, for starters, I was born without a sense of shame, which has served me well, particularly when I'm ambushing politicians with a camera and asking them questions that they don't want to answer. When I was 19, I went to university in a very cold city designed by Scots called Dunedin, and I was arrested for dealing pot, you know, as you do, and as a result, I can't travel anywhere in the world ever again. And so I'm stuck here in the island slave chained nation of New Zealand, in the fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. So I thought to myself, well, the world is really, really effed, to put it bluntly. After watching copious quantities of documentaries over a six-month period, I probably absorbed around about 150, 160 documentaries. So I had a dramatically altered world view from what I did at the start of that year. And I was a pretty gifted salesman, and I wrote a seven-page essay about what was wrong with the company that I was in, you know, reshaping their programs on the computers and training facilities and ways of keeping the employees happy during lunch hours and what have you. And we got called into a boardroom, went through about maybe two pages of the seven-page document. And then the person who was the chair of the board just, you know, left. He says, I'm sorry, I've got another appointment to go to that's more important. 2 days passed. I said, what's happening with that? What's happening with my recommendations? He says, as far as I'm concerned, the issue is closed. And then a few days later, they slapped a piece of paper down in front of me, paid me $3,000 to leave within the next 5 minutes. And so that was great. I had a summer holiday for the first time in a long, long time. And then I got another job, which I again got shafted over, but not before I managed to sneak away with $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers that I got as a bonus for 45 days work. I spent that money on a new iMac, a new digital handy cam, and I went out with frustration at the mainstream scumbaggery media and started ambushing politicians, ambushing business roundtable filth in this country, Freemasons, the whole ball of waxy filth that we have in this country and everywhere. And I was listening to a lot of Alex Jones, looking at a lot of YouTube videos. And the thing that really struck me is that America does have an alternative media, okay? It really does have it. You know, there's people all over the place, shows like this, separate radio networks all over the place, right? You know how much of that we've got in New Zealand? Zip. Nada. Nothing. Nothing to the extent that you would say that that person's got a TV show, that person's got a YouTube channel, that person's got a radio show, that person's got several websites, that person's got a network of activists, that person's got advertisers, that person's got sponsors. Nothing. Okay, until now, until me, because I thought to myself, well, you know, if nobody else is going to try and save the world, I have to. You know, it's a personal sense of responsibility as a patriot and a creative person, as somebody who had the gift of the gab and has the ability to manipulate people, as I learned in the sales world. I didn't want to use my powers of manipulation to lie to people anymore. Instead, I wanted to use my powers of manipulating people into accepting the truth. And in so doing, my natural sense of humor has kind of taken hold. And I really didn't like the fact that everything was kind of becoming into a fear factory with conspiracy theory movements. You know, I don't like that whole aspect of it. So I started making jokes pretty much about everything. And I was introduced to a man named Mitch Santel on YouTube. He had the fastest growing YouTube channel in New Zealand called After America, based on nothing but conspiracy theories. So, of course, it got pulled from YouTube after he had about 10,000 subscribers. and then he was producing a show called The American Freedom Report, starring Brent Johnson and Dave Von Kleist of 9/11 in Plain Sight. And Dave Von Kleist left the show due to his connection problems because he was connecting from Argentina. And so Brent Johnson cycled through a whole bunch of different people as a co-host for the show, you know, guest co-host 1 week at a time. They brought me on, and the show at the time had gotten really low ratings, and it jumped up three slots in the ratings for the show time. And Danny Romero, who owns American Freedom Radio, basically canned the show and then gave it to me. And that's basically the story of how I got started. And now I have a TV show. I've got a few sponsors. I've got subscribers that basically get nothing for subscribing to me. They just donate money to me on a regular basis so that I can just continue doing what I'm doing. interviewing the best and the brightest patriots from all over the globe, especially New Zealanders, who basically, in my opinion, never get the coverage that they deserve. And I still don't think that they get the coverage they deserve as hard as I try, even if I put them up on YouTube and on my radio show and what have you. But I think it's my duty to try because nobody else is bothering. And that's basically who I am. I go to public meetings and film them and upload them on YouTube in one part kind of thing so that when people want to participate in political discourse in New Zealand, they don't have to travel the length of the country to go to these small, isolated public meetings that only have like a couple of dozen people in them. Instead, I record them, upload them on YouTube, don't ask for a cent, and if people at those events want to buy some of my DVDs or what have you that are consist of a compilation of videos that I've made on a wide spectrum range of topics, they can, and I use that money to support myself and get more DVDs printed and so on and so forth. And that's really about sums it up.
Well, that's a great background and overview of what you've been doing. Thank you for that. You know, Sherry, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to mention that, you know, I relate to your story about corporate America and like having and like kind of realizing it wasn't your path, because every time you were involved in working with corporate America, you hit a wall. And that's what happened with me too. I mean, I remember the severance pay, and I remember them giving me crap because I was better than anyone else in the office at creating things, and there would be jealousy that would go on. It was never the right thing for me. And I think that you get pushed onto the path that you're on because the situation that you're in is not right.
Well, it's because the corporate structure is structured more or less to only advance psychopaths. And if you get to a position with your creativity, skill, and diligent hard work, as I did, where the owner of the company actually came up to me and asked me how to run it better, after I told him what I thought, he then passed it on to my bosses, because he was their boss, and they got really pissed off with me. Extremely.
Right, they wanted to take the credit for it, so they got rid of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's standard. That's like almost standard practice in multinational corporate malfeasance.
And it's like strange that we're talking about corporations because that was really a big topic for us in the last few days. I was talking to Len about people. It's just a mentality of people that belong to be working in corporate America. And we just got
they vibe to 741 instead of love 528.
Yeah, it's like, it's a certain personality. I never got along with those people. To me, those types of people, they didn't really know themselves. They never know who they are. And they're always phony. It's like you never know what they're going to think or what they're going to do next.
You got to give your power away. Whenever you're dealing, and this is the tragedy of, unfortunately, the earthly plane and reality, particularly the economics of sustaining ourselves when the multinational corporate fascists are controlling the governments, the banks, and virtually everything. You've got to sell your soul, if you will, to the devil if you're going to be playing that game. And that's the tragedy of the whole way that the vibration, the frequency, the dissonance, and the degeneration of society, you buy into it by choice. And again, we've been talking about that and talking about people who choose to give away their sovereignty, their freedom of expression, their freedom of creativity to basically do what the boss man says. And there's a lot of potato chip manufacturers out there, you know, a lot of people who want to be, and maybe they've been born to be assembly line workers, and they're not very creative.
There's two things I wanted to kind of add to that. You talked about how, Sherry, you talked about how these people are false, right? And they never got any depth to their character. The American Medical Journal defines a psychopath as a person who is very nice and pleasant when you first meet them but has no real depth to their character and no long-lasting relationships. They ultimately don't care about anybody else and only care about themselves. As a result, they advance themselves very, very quickly through corporate structures, and the three most likely industries you are to find psychopaths is business, media, and politics. What would you say would be the three most important pillars that structure our society and maintain it?
and Lynn, you talked about
how you have to sell your soul, and in some cases it's actually literal. For instance, I was told by my girlfriend's mother, who has a brother who's a 33rd degree Freemason, in his initiation ceremony, he was asked to denounce Christ and to swear allegiance to Lucifer. The current Prime Minister of New Zealand is a 33rd degree Freemason. His name is John Key. He used to work for Merrill Lynch, and he spent 2 years as the head of derivatives trading on the New York Federal Reserve Bank during the 2008, just before the 2008 financial crisis, which was obviously caused by derivatives. He then came back home to New Zealand, came out of absolutely nowhere to become the head of the National Party, which are the Republican equivalent, and became the Prime Minister. Does that sound like a fantastic coincidence to you?
Well, yeah, no, it's definitely no coincidence. The God of the world is Lucifer. I mean, that's what, you know, God of the world that runs all the evil in the world is not the God we know. But I have to ask you a question. So what did your brother-in-law, what did he say when he was asked to denounce Christ?
He said no, and they tried to kill him and his family, and he had to leave the country.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Okay, they pursued him for a very, very long time, and he was lucky to escape with his life.
Wow.
Because that's part of the oath that you keep when you become a member of the Freemason Brotherhood. You don't inform on the Brotherhood at all, which incidentally is quite amusing, because approximately it was either 30% or 30,000 of the Uber Kingdom, the UK police force, are sworn Freemasons, as well as being sworn police officers. And in fact, there was a huge protest in the UK about this, where close to 100,000 sworn officers marched on London, complaining and decrying about the Freemasons in their midst. And of course, the British representative from the government said, oh, these people are just conspiracy theorists, you know, 100,000 conspiracy theorists wearing police uniforms in the street. Oh, they're all crazy.
Right.
You know, I wanted to just interject. It's a little slightly off topic, but it won't be. I know that you're familiar with my work with the 528, and, you know, Sherry and I launched 528 Records, and we've been talking on this program a lot, so we have a lot of our listeners out there. And I'm thinking about Max, particularly in Toronto right now. We had a revelation that relates to what we're talking about this week from a good buddy of ours, Zach, who is working with us. And he went into the Bible, the book of Numbers, chapter 7, verse 12 through 83, has the original code of the ancient solfeggio scale that Dr. Paleo came up with by a visitation from Jesus. Back 1997 it was, and that from that revelation and that segment of the Bible, the six original frequency musical scale notes, the fifth note being 741, which relates to this dissonant frequency of energy,
satanic, demonic.
It's, and in fact, it's called the interval between 528 love and 741, the dissonant note within the A440 standard tuning that the Rockefellers institutionalized back in 1938. That is called in classical musicology the devil's interval. Now, what's the revelation? Because we've been talking about this for years now, but the revelation that just came is if you go back into the Bible and you study the sequences of the codes that relays these frequencies of the numbers, of the musical frequencies.
In the Book of Numbers.
In the Book of Numbers. In chapter 7, verses 12 through 83, there's the repeating series. Every six verses repeats. It's very odd, very, very strange that in this whole section of the Bible, the same virtually exact verses are repeating every six verses.
And the verse that's supposed to represent 741... Check this out. It repeats itself. Every time 741 shows up in this chapter, it says, it basically
it's
says
about
one,
what we're talking
one,
about.
One, it says one kid goat sacrifice.
For sin. So
one kid, right?
One kid, like a child, to be sacrificed.
To the goats.
For the goats.
The
goats is the Illuminati symbol, is a sin sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for sin. This is what it actually says in the Bible. And the revelation is, this is exactly what we're saying with the relation to 528. When you look at the same verses, same every six verse, the one that deals with 528, that lays out 528 love frequency, is the gold. It says this is the gold.
The shekels and the gold.
It's all about gold and the sacrifices for the to the temple and to God in gold. So it's so interesting that love, 528, is related to gold, but the devil's tone is 741, and that, the Bible says, is related to sacrificing our children, our kids, for the goats to be engaged in sin.
Yeah, and what's interesting about the gold is that the gold is the most healing metal of all.
Yeah, it's, of course, the monoatomic gold now, the concept that white gold or the monoatomic gold.
The platinum gold.
Well, those are the platinum group elements, but the gold itself is very likely related to the ancient manna. That's the real spiritual food, and if you go back in the Bible, the presentation of the manna occurred like dew drops on the leaves and on the ground. It was all white. It was supposedly because they didn't have any food in the story in the Bible. Moses in Exodus is leaving, and the manna comes as a divine blessing, and it's all white, and it's a powder, and it lays on the ground, and it lays on the grass, and that is amazing because, again, the revelation of 528 being related to gold, and yet the devil's tone, 741, related to sin, related to the goats, and the sacrificing for the kids. It's unbelievable.
And it relates back to what you were saying, Vinny, with what they had to say under oath. Like, the goats, under oath, had to pledge allegiance to Lucifer.
To sin.
To the devil. And in the Bible, it talks about that in relation to what we've been exposing as far as the pedophiles and the child sex trafficking. And I mean, you even had a couple of those guys attacking you. So it's just all coming down to it. Like, I totally believe there's a divine plan, and that like knowing you, Vinny, working with you, and the partnership that Len and I have, like all of us together, we are part of this divine plan at these end times to really enlighten people and bring people the real message of the truth.
I've got a conspiracy theory for you. It says that the Book of Revelations that towards the end time or what have you, that people will be deceived en masse. And I was wondering, this is my theory, that perhaps the Bible was actually designed in some part to deceive people. Like, I've been talking to some very profoundly religious born again Christians lately, and I tell them about the New World Order, and they know everything about it. They know about the chips that are being put in New Zealand cows now. Under the Animal Tagging and Licensing Act, where the farmers and the cattle have to be tagged with electronic chips under the skin. I tell them, so what are you going to do about it? And they go, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. The Bible says so. Right? And I was thinking to myself, is that part of the great deception?
Yeah, I don't get that at all. See, I love the Bible, and I'm a Christian Jew. I'm not a fundamentalist. In fact, I'm really a practitioner of the way of Jesus as much as I can be. And so is Sherry.
Because but Christianity didn't come about until after Jesus was gone.
300 years later, it became bastardized by Constantine from the Roman Catholic Church. It became the political religion of the time. And it's, of course, evolved. And so I look at the Bible, I read it completely differently. My favorite Bible actually is the Complete Jewish Bible that was edited by David Stern, who's a scholar, and it makes it very more relevant to particularly Messianic Jews, Christian Jews, who appreciate Yeshua, Jesus, for the magnificent scholarship and discernment and spiritual evolution of the Son of the Creator. In essence, my take is that this being was the Son of God, preached exactly what God, if God was in the flesh, would want people to know. He was telling it the way it is. And I look at what he says as the solutions to all of the problems.
Do you see what I'm saying here? Like with that kind of and I believe that this might be a fringe Christian belief that the New World Order is coming and there's nothing we can do to stop it. So I'm just going to sit here and let it happen and die and go to heaven. Do you think that's part of a big psyop that's being run on people to make
scam.
Them?
Yeah. You're right. It's definitely a complete scam. It's part of what the hypocrisy of the church. In fact, it's called the synagogue of Satan is what it's named in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. Of course, Sherry, you've got to take
on the synagogue of Satan.
It's today.
Well, back then there wasn't any churches. It's the church of Satan, but
today it's the church of Satan.
My thoughts are that there are people that are going to interpret the Bible according to their own agenda, and there are also people out there that are sheep. So if you're going to look at the Bible, you're going to try to decipher it in the codes, and you're not going to take it like, because it's not at face value. There's nothing in the Bible that's written at face value. It's all done in kind of like.
Well, hold on a second here. Hold on a second here. Because the person who told me this is incidentally a prolific procrastinator.
Prolific procrastinators are typically also self-defeaters.
Right, exactly. And that person isn't somebody who's going to go and take charge and do anything and because they can't even leave the house.
And to be a self-defeater, you have to have literally such a low respect for your own self and your own calling and your own giftings that you don't ever express yourself. You procrastinate forever. So that is, speaks to a personality type that Sherry's talking about when she says the sheeple, because the sheeple feel the same way. The sheep, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, you've got to give your sovereignty away to basically bow down to a corporate demon. And, you know, here's another metaphor. You know, the Christian community believes and the televangelists preach that Jesus created a miracle when he told his disciples, go down to pay the temple tax, go fishing, and look in the fish's mouth, you'll find a denarius to pay the temple tax. And they stupidly claim that that was a miracle that Jesus created. And that's so stupid because it's taken and distorted out of the context of the entire book of Matthew, where Jesus calls the tax collectors virtual whores and prostitutes. He's a staunch tax protester.
And he whips them.
He whips the money launderers, the usury people in front of the temple gates for the hypocrisy that's being played out by the temple leaders, the Sanhedrin rabbis and the Levitical priests there of his time. He actually expresses righteous indignation to violence. He becomes violent. And that's amazing for somebody who is steeped completely in 528 love. And the concept that he actually said to them, and you've got to be Jewish to understand Jesus, who was Jewish, and his humor that is not understood by the Christian community in many regards, but specifically we're talking about that scene where he tells the disciples after he's had so much grief Peter comes back to him and tells him that he's been accosted by the rabbi. He's on his way home. Does your brother believe in the paying the temple tax? And he says, well, what do I tell these rabbis and these tax collectors? And Jesus then, you know, kind of like puts his hand, slaps his hand against his forehead and goes, oh, my God, I can't believe you guys. Here we are at the end of my life. I'm about to take off, and you guys still haven't gotten it. Go down, cast your fish hooks into the water, go fishing, look in the mouth of the fish you catch. There's a denarius. If you find a denarius, you can pay the temple tax with it. In fact, it was just like my father's Jewish humor. When anyone said something so stupid or absurd, he would say in Yiddish, German, and Yiddish, he would say, "Habtachem beim Tochas, dann wirst du haben Borscht." And it's translated, it means bite on your butt, and then you'll get to drink beet soup. It was totally an absurdity, a humorous absurdity. But you get to the point of frustration where that type of humor is very apparent at this very, very trying end times for Jesus, where he's totally blown out because his disciples, where he's leaving his entire ministry and love crusade, the real way to God. That's what it was all about for him. And he's leaving it to people who can't even have the faith to trust what he was saying and the miracles that can come about by simply having faith empowered by prayer.
And a lot of people don't know that it was called the way before Christianity. They just know Christianity. And that's also part of all the propaganda that, you know, that's been really suppressed. It's really the way. What is the way? The way to love. This is the way to be, the way to love.
Yeah, so that's faith and love. Look, if you think about what's in your heart, the key frequency of 528 love that's resonating in your heart in the greenish-yellow heart chakra, that's just like the botanical chlorophyll, the selected pigment for bringing us the life, the ha, the breath of life resonating in love, 528. That whole concept is totally consistent with this evolution into the way of being in sync, in harmony, phase locked into divinity. It is atonement, pure, a tone, a musical note meant to be played now. When you have faith, you need faith. It's in your heart. You need joy. It's in your heart. You need love. It's in your heart. And you need bravery, not fear. It's in your heart. So all of these heart basic frequency resonant qualities and virtues and values are in your heart, not your head. But where does the Church of Satan, where does Babylonian hypocrisy, where does your prime sinister and the politicians and the Freemasons want you to go?
The tax collectors of today.
Into fear. And that's where they get you. As soon as you step out of love and into fear, or step out of 528 into 741 dissonance, you are doomed to this physical insanity we call reality.
See, I personally have a somewhat of a callous disregard for reality to a large extent. For example, on the weekend of 9/11, I got assaulted by a fluoride head. And that wouldn't stop me from going out there again, you know, because I don't care, right? It's like, smack me. Go
Wait,
ahead.
What's a fluoride head?
I can take it. A fluoride head, somebody who's like an aspartame drinking, McDonald's munching,
pepperoni pizza eater,
American Idol watching, enslaved mindset, sitting on a couch.
Monday Night Football.
Okay, fluoride head. That's a good one.
I used to call them pepperoni pizza eaters.
Well, you know, I like pepperoni pizza, so I take a offense to that. But
but you know what I mean, right?
Oh, yeah. For rizzle, my nizzle. But the consequence of this is that we wound up having a watching a documentary later on by architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and I don't agree with everything that they say, but one part of the documentary was very interesting when they talked about the psychological blocks that people have. Why can't people realize 9/11 is an inside job? Why do they come out and assault you? Why do they attack you online? Why do they call you retarded? Why do they, you know, so on and so forth. It's cognitive dissonance. Basically, it means that because yes. you're learning something that you wish wasn't true, your mind reacts automatically by demonizing the people who are telling you this truth, first of all, either verbally or physically, or straight denial. So this is right. this is what happens. This is how the mind reacts to protect itself when it doesn't want to know something.
Exactly.
Now, this may sound like me being a tad arrogant to some people, but it's very, very true. I don't want to know that 9/11 was an inside job, because it means, and the ramification of this is, that the government isn't there to protect me. In fact, exactly. it's there to kill me. It's there yes. to enslave me. It's yes. there to take over my life. That yes. is a really horrific realization. And so it's very natural to deny reality simply because it violates every single preconceived notion that you've had in your life up to this point. It's not something you want
exactly.
to have.
Exactly. Exactly, Vinny. That you said it. That's exactly what it is. And once they really come to terms with it, then they'll. What are they going to do? Either one, they'll jump off of a ten floor building or a bridge, or they'll drink themselves to death, or they'll have to do something about it. They don't know what to do about it. And
you know, instead of turning to God with faith and love and trust and power of prayer, they go engage all this real crap, just elusive crap. Vinny, this is what you also just said is a perfect explanation of why COINTELPRO operators are the gang leaders of that level of deception and dissonance that creates these people who are not just in denial, but defend their illusions and their desire to gain this, you know, camaraderie, and it's called cause stalking. They stalked Sherry Kane. They stalked me. They're stalking you. They're stalking Michael Vera, a number of other people, Barbara Hartwell. All of these good guys out there are being stalked by the cause stalkers. And what is their cause? The primary cause is to maintain the illusion, maintain the dissonance, and maintain the fear yeah. and manipulation.
That's precisely right, and the reason why it's so much easier for them to maintain an illusion than it is for us to expose the truth is because the truth can't be packaged in a certain way that makes it easy to accept. A lie can be, because you can make anything up that makes it easier to accept, yeah.
And
you can keep repeating it. And
right.
you can keep repeating it, and not to mention the liars and the thieves and the psychopathy that run the media and business and politics in this country and virtually every other for that matter, with the exception of a few, but they'll be invaded in due course to make sure that they're brought in line. That's the basic premise of what we have to deal with now, is that I feel that the term conspiracy theorist is now a good thing, okay? And I keep saying to people, I'm a conspiracy theorist and I'm proud of it. I don't care if people want to demonize me for saying that I'm a conspiracy theorist, because you know what? They're going to do it anyway. If I say that aspartame is bad for you, I'm a conspiracy theorist. If I say the government is a lying bunch of psychopathic scumbaggery filth, I'm a conspiracy theorist. If
right.
I say that cops don't tell you the truth 100% of the time and unlawfully assault and arrest people and lie during interviews and manufacture documents, I'm a conspiracy theorist. All of these things that are 100% provable fact and truth means you're a conspiracy theorist. So I say, if you are a conspiracy theorist, good on you. You
yep.
are one of the people who managed to realize how retarded you were and decide to start speaking the truth and not
yeah, exactly.
shutting up about it.
Well, we call ourselves conspiracy realists, and
no, but by doing that, you then give power to the people who would use the term conspiracy theorist to demonize you. You know who coined the term conspiracy theorist? Richard Milhouse Nixon. He demonized Woodward and Bernstein over the Watergate affair by saying, "Oh, those are just conspiracy theorists. I am not a crook." And so, as a result, it's maintained this negative connotation, and I feel that using mimetics, which is basically like instead of opposing something, you instead turn it into something good by creating the direct opposite thing to what you don't want. Okay, and I feel that if we can repeat, use the propaganda mechanisms for good this time, repeat to people endlessly that conspiracy theorists are good people, conspiracy theorists are smart, conspiracy theorists know what's going on, conspiracy theorists aren't misled. Right. Conspiracy theorists are good people, okay? Repeat it over and over again, and eventually the meaning of the word will change for people, and then we can experience something really grand, being unable to be demonized as conspiracy theorists. That's my goal.
We had a former friend. That makes a lot of sense. We had a former friend that actually said that conspiracy theorists of today are tomorrow's heroes. And I always thought that was great that he said that, because it makes a lot of sense. The conspiracy theorists of today are tomorrow's heroes.
Well, they're actually today's heroes. And I thought about a quote just before I came on this, show. I quote myself all the time. It's like, you can either accept being a slave you can either die a slave or fight as a hero, and you have to decide. And that's really what conspiracy theorists in our day and age are. They're people who come up against immense opposition and immense demonization, and anybody who can stand up to that kind of opposition is no less than a hero than the first responders of 9/11 or the 9/11 families that support the 9/11 truth movement and indeed created it. Those are heroes who deserve respect, and they don't get respect by having lies told.
Yeah, I think that we're also, like you're saying, and Sherry, you're alluding to too, is that we're seeing a shift. We're actually having the language that they demonized conspiracy theorists, or all of us with, any whistleblower, truth teller, they've demonized us. But generally speaking now, it was amazing. I mean, when we had the Pharma Horse, the Showtime Sting of Penn & Teller film that we did a couple years ago, and at the time, Penn and Teller came out in their propaganda and said that 42% of the United States population believe that 9/11 was an inside job. And more recently, that has been up to about 70 to 80% of your average Joe American out there knows that it was the Bush-Cheney gang inside the Pentagon and the military establishment with Carlyle Group, with Osama bin Laden and the Osama bin Laden family involved with Carlyle, that actually perpetrated this hideous catastrophe. And that we now know this. And, you know, interesting that this past weekend, where all this hoopla occurred over the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, and the football was just, again, the American pastime, drink your beer, watch your sexy, dames selling you beer commercials in between rough guys killing each other on the football field, right? And you have George Bush, the junior, going out on the football field stretching.
I loved it how he was – I loved it how he managed to do his speech from behind bulletproof glass. It just shows how many people want to shoot that bastard.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it is so far degenerated. The entire propaganda ploy to maintain the status quo in the illusion, in the fear, in the deception, is crumbling.
That the Patriot Act is still alive. I mean, the patriots are still alive, and America is still a great country, and we're still, I said that that America has fallen, This is, and every great empire has to fall. America has fallen.
Yeah, the party's over. America, and it's been, Up.
America may have fallen, but the truth is rising. Be sure
rising,
of it, because
absolutely.
I see it every single day. All new YouTube videos are coming out. New radio shows are started every day by people like you and I, who may not be particularly like the best at what they do, but the second that you start doing something, even if it's not perfect, it still is perfect. It's perfect timing for you to get involved. If you're listening to this radio show right now, do as I did. Stop sitting around being afraid. Stop caring about what people might think of you and start fighting and become a warrior for the truth. Because the sooner you become a warrior for the truth, the better you can defend yourself in the future.
You know, here's something else. For those of you who don't like the concept of being a warrior, you want to be a peacemaker, all you have to do to have a major impact is just go to 528radio.com. Just tune in to 528, because what happens when you start to vibe to that music, your heart is going to open and your intuition is going to expand. Your ego is going to diminish. Your full spiritual blessing is going to be inspired. And what's best, if that's not good enough, is when you play that, because the entire universe is hydrated, those frequency vibrations are actually going out and causing even those dumbed down, what do you call it, the fluoride-ites, those dumbed down pepperoni pizza guys, they are going to also have an impact on their hearts. And there's this whole evolution and revolution of 528 love, frequency vibration expands. And that's what's happening cosmically. That's what the end times is all about. Don't forget, we've got the Mayan calendar ending. You know, Sherry and I, we thought that we would announce that we're going to get engaged. Sherry and I are actually going to be engaged to be married on December the 25th, 2012, as the entire earthly plane is supposedly going to be completely degenerated. Sherry and I are going to be married and blessed and uplifted in the Holy Spirit flow.
Whether on this spiritual plane or another.
You know, well, congratulations. And I'm sure there's a whole lot of conspiracy theorists, girls and boys out there who are very disappointed. it's like the truth equivalent of Paul McCartney getting married, you know. And I thought about another great word to come out to go along with the pepperoni eaters. It's called the Domino's Dumbasses.
Yeah, exactly. It's another one. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
At any rate, it's like everything is shifting, and it's you're either in with the flow or you're in dissonance and you're in degeneration, you're in stress. And what is a blessing that's happening right now, and I guarantee the vast majority of you folks listening out there, you've been experiencing it. Your lives are falling apart. We talked about this on this show. We talked about how betrayal has occurred. We've talked about how all the places that you've placed your faith suddenly seems to be misplaced.
And you look and you read like these mainstream newspapers, and on the front cover, like I'm looking at one right now, says U.S. poverty totals hit a 50-year high. Census Bureau's grim statistics shows recession's lingering effects as young adults move back home and 1 million more Americans go without health insurance. So pretty much this is all about doom and gloom.
It's all about doom and gloom. But that the flip is, it's what's pressing us to go into faith and love and just disregard the hypocrisy, insanity, lunacy, degenerative, genocidal, depopulation, manipulation that's ongoing, because salvation, physical, depends on choice making. And you have a choice to turn on something that spreads love in the world and peace and joy and prosperity in all ways.
And start
That's
by
what Jesus
off your TV.
Was all about. You start by turning off the TV and you turn out. You tune off. You just do not plug into that channel, because it is literally 741.
It's depressing.
Yeah. It's degenerative. It's stressful. It's diseasing.
Plugging into that is like trying to plug a fork into a power socket. It's not going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Nope.
Exactly.
Nope.
So anyway, I Sherry and I are just really actually celebrating, even as we have been so hideously attacked, and we're witnessing all of those people, even within my own family. My ex-wife is hideously attacking us. You can't even imagine in your worst nightmares. And we're witnessing miracles. We're witnessing how their own dissonance is coming back like John Lennon preached. Instant karma is gonna get you, and it is getting them
now. I've got a story about instant karma. I insulted one of my friends. We were like walking home from school kind of thing, and hadn't quite left the school gates yet. But I insulted him, you know, and then I walked right into a lamppost. Bong!
Oh.
And I've got a question from one of my listeners, Kaver. Wanted to know what you think about Ron Paul.
Here's an inside story, and what I'm about to say is probably going to be hated by the American patriots, who, you know, already think that I'm whacked, so it's no big deal if they think, you know, the truth strikes them sickly. Ron Paul, he's a medical doctor, you may well know. He's also a politician. He's also been the sole person who's been exposing the fact that you've got the central banksters controlling the fascist government of the United States, and you got to make a change for the better. Well, that's wonderful. But you know what? He's got no balls. And I say that from personal experience. And here's why. Because when the entire presidential election campaign for Ron Paul, this last election, occurred, there was an opportunity that Ron Paul had, a moment in history to step forward and shine like no other with the most important and empowering truth about genocide. That occurred when Reverend Jeremiah Wright, the minister for Barack Obama, halted with the American news media the presidential campaign and brought the focus of attention to HIV/AIDS and the allegations that Reverend Wright had stated that AIDS was a man-made U.S. government military creation for genocide against people of color. And when he went before the press at the National Press Club, asked the question, "Reverend Wright, you didn't really mean that, did you?" And he said, quote, "Have you read Dr. Leonard Horowitz's book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola?" End quote. At that time, I was actually engaged with the Ron Paul campaign. Every single official and every state worker who is at the forefront of the campaign asked me to please get with them and contribute this incredible opportunity to Ron Paul, which I did with joy and pleasure in my heart, thinking that we were going to have an opportunity to expose the darkest secret within the United States military and government establishment, that of actual vaccine-induced genocide. And you know what happened? Ron Paul and his handful of movers and shakers refused their own state's contributors, their own campaign leaders. They refused to meet or discuss this with Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Now, that is second experience I've had with Ron Paul, because in 1997, when the book first came out, I actually went to Congress. I went door to door to the people who I thought might lend an ear to the government's creation of HIV/AIDS. And I went to Robert Torricelli, who was my roommate in college, who was the senator from New Jersey at the time, who was at the highest levels of CIA and intelligence and military acquisitions. And he shut the door on his good old friend from Rutgers. Then I went to Ron Paul's office, and I got the same virtual runaround treatment. Oh, Dr. Paul is not available to speak with you, and thank you for delivering this information. We'll take it under advisement. Never. Here is a doctor, a medical deity involved in politics and involved in making a difference, and he's got no balls to tell the truth.
But because he had a political agenda, and just like anybody with a political agenda, they will appease who they have to appease, and they will actually sell their soul to the devil
has,
to get there.
Has it worked?
Yeah, that's what Lenin said. He said, "Don't worry, comrade. I'm just telling them what they want to hear."
Exactly.
And when we get in power, then we can do what we want.
Right. Okay, so, but what goes around comes around. Look at what Ron Paul has contributed. Zilch. Look at what Obama has contributed. Zilch. All of these guys tell the people what they think that they want to hear to gain their election campaign funding, and then they screw you.
Now, so this means that the entire political establishment, and it doesn't matter what country you're in, the very form at which we participate in politics is 100% top to bottom and all 360 degrees effing wrong. This means that we need a new system of politics. Now, I think that political ideology is kind of like swings to the left or swings to the right, and they both wind up wrapping a noose around your neck and hanging you. So I feel that one of the interesting experiments that's been done in the UK, at least, is they've been participating in open source software to run companies, to elect football teams, where their positions are and what have you. All of these companies have actually become remarkably successful. The football team that decided that it would open source its football selection even asked the people on the website to select which players go in what position and when and why and all that kind of stuff. They left it all up to the people through their own discussions with liking that or not liking that or what have you. Everybody's free to comment, discuss, and what have you. That football team won the cup. I feel that the possibility of having an open source software election where everybody who makes a foolish statement on Facebook, as happens today, gets absolutely ridiculed by people.
Right.
And everybody who says something that's really wise and amazingly onto it gets a heck of a lot of likes and a hell of a lot more traffic, and that winds up becoming policy. Okay.
Yeah, give it
it's
to
because
people.
Of the fact that we don't participate in politics on a daily basis that we become politically apathetic.
Exactly. And I believe all the sports games are all rigged, just like the politics. It's all rigged. It's all, you know, basically there's somebody pulling the strings, and whoever they want to win is going to win. And that's how it is. The people on the higher levels determine that. And so there's no way around it. But like you said, if you give it to we the people, put it through social networking scenes where more people participate in it rather than just the 20% of people that are out there voting, and you have more people on a big scale. I mean, that's the only way it might be more legitimate. Otherwise, I don't trust it. I don't trust any of the ballots or the election.
Yeah, I think we do have, because of the technology, the opportunity that you're discussing, Vinny.
Yeah.
Vinny,
giving people equal opportunity to participate in the political process without the stranglehold of mainstream media on the consciousness of humanity. And if you want to listen to my show 5 days a week, 5 till 7 central, ladies and gentlemen, my website is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, not IE, because I don't want to be an example to anybody. You have to be your own. And we're on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Every show is archived, and we have done a lot of shows with Lenny and Sherry. If you're big fans of them, go to the archives at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and catch up with the play. And thanks, guys, so much for leaving me on tonight.
Thank you, Vinny.
You're great. We love you.
We totally do, and people definitely go check out Vinny's show. He's an amazing host. He's funny, he's talented, and he's very informative, and he's very much like us on the same page. So definitely recommend you catch his show as often as you can. We want to thank you all for listening. We want to thank our sponsors. HealthyWorldStore.com has the most amazing
lots of wonderful things happening right now.
Products that can help you and make you feel much better than Big Pharma's horrible drugs that they're telling you that you need to take all the time that are just making you sicker and causing other side effects. And we also want to thank HealthyWorldAffiliates.com, which is our affiliate program. If you want to partner with us, it's a great way to partner with us. Actually, if you go to Vinny's site, VinnyEastwoodShow.com, I believe he has a banner up. You can join through Vinny. It's an amazing opportunity. It's a co-op. You get a web link and then great discounts on the products. And then if you recommend them to others who purchase them, you get commission checks.
So you can save lives and earn a respectable income.
Exactly. And then we want to let everybody know about 528records.com. If you're a musician, we recommend you go there. And if you haven't recorded your music in the 528 frequency, then you can transpose it into that frequency on the site. You can just upload it.
In other words, you could remaster. If you're musicians out there, you can remaster what you've already recorded in 528. Then it becomes healing music, not just enjoyable music, not just for you, the listener, or the performer. It's also sending that resonance out, and it's a part of this whole shift in open-heartedness and consciousness that the 528 Love Revolution is all about.
And then your music will be available in the library for donation, available by donation to others, and you will get 60% royalties on anyone who donates towards your original music.
60% royalties, musicians out there, or agents out there, recording label officials out there. 60% royalty, and we're talking about a whole different paradigm in e-commerce with the 528 Love Revolution. So go to, if you want to right now, start to get addicted, because I am and Sherry is. Anybody that starts to listen to the music of love gets addicted to it. In a couple days, you won't even want to turn on your other radios. And if you hear other people playing music in 440, you'll go, there's something missing in that. And we've got all the information as to why it's missing and what's missing. The book of 528 is still coming out. I understand that we're going to, within a couple weeks then, finally get the book of 528 hardcover out there. And here's something new. Healthy World Ambassadors is now coming online. I have one more week before I'm going to get the quiz, actual questions, and the final examination for an 8-part series for Healthy World affiliates to become Healthy World Ambassadors. And you can lead your own career into a 5-year certified accredited degree program to become a bioenergy medicine doctor that's a board eligible in naturopathic medicine, where you can take your final exam for your state or province, and then you'll be licensed to practice naturopathy based on the degree program I'm now introducing. Give me one more week. It's already up in a private website. I won't tell you the link yet, but for those of you who've been waiting, and I've been talking about this for 2 years now, we've been embattled with so much, you know, distractive garbage, if you will. I've not been able to finish it, but now it is happening. And this week we'll have it, and you'll have all the information about who's accrediting it and how to get involved with the Healthy World Ambassadors program as an extension of Healthy World Affiliates.
And also, I'd like to announce that a new site will also be coming up where Lenny and Sherry teach you how to make fun of medical morons, called Healthy World Embarrassers.
Healthy World Embarrassments. Yeah, we could have a Fickle Finger of Fate award for, let's say, Truant this week. Yeah, very good, Vinny. All right, folks, we're at the end of the Inside Hour. We, again, invite you back next week, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Pacific. We love you. We thank you for joining us, and we wish you a wonderful week. God bless you.
Good night, everyone.